What's happening, my boy?
Yo, what up, bro? Y'all stand for OT?
Shit, I probably will, but it's homecoming week.
That bread,
I don't know
bro.
How long I'm going to be
I
here.
Gotta stay for OT.
Listen up, workers. Overtime is mandatory this weekend. No excuses.
Shit like that. I came in, y'all trying to record without. Give me the microphone. Give me the thing. So they all looking at me through that window there. So when the track come on, it's backwards.
Sound engineer was simply rewinding the tape.
And I don't know what. I ain't never heard it before, but I don't know what. I don't know. I can't tell what key is in because it's all. So I'm trying to play it off like I knew what the fuck was happening. So I start talking. This is the story of famous dogs. Why must I feel like that? Why must I chase the cat? Real Atona. I ain't committing to no key or nothing. And then do the dog. I said, wow, that makes sense. Do the dog. So I just did acapella just like they went to beat. Instead of them telling me that the track was backwards, they left it like that. That became Atomic Dog.
Hey, shout out to the intro this week. What's happening? What's happening, everybody? How y'all doing? How y'all doing, man? Welcome to another episode of Mandatory Overtime. I'm your main man, DJ High Star, and the place to be. The aim here at Mandatory Overtime is for us to recalibrate, redefine manhood as we see it in our community. Of course, you know, it's an audio journal of an 80s baby. Simply a social experiment in consistency. You could have been anywhere in the world, but you're here listening to me. And I appreciate that, y'all. I appreciate that. Don't get this confused with the manosphere. It's just a place where the man is fair. So pull up a chair, like, comment, subscribe, and share, and make some noise because your man is here. Y'all know what time it is, okay? They say I got a Russian sound engineer. And a check 1-2. A check 1-2.
Bang, bang.
Let's go to work, like y'all. It's happening live from Charlotte, America. Y'all already know what time it is. In the words of Chance the Rapper, Ice. But yeah, reporting live from Charlotte, America. I say all of that, you know, because it's been a little while. They got border patrol and ICE or immigration all through Charlotte in there. This shit has been f***ing me up. Like, one of the first to say, like, when it's not at your front door or it's not at your doorstep, you kind of not concerned with it as much. But this is kind of hitting home. A lot of my friends work in the education field, in the education system. And I'm hearing these first person accounts of just the harassment, the chaos, and everything that's going on with immigration in Charlotte right now. So again, in the words of Chance the Rapper, Ice, y'all already know what time it is. Showing full support as well. This is me being a foundational Black American, but humanity is humanity, and what's going on is just wrong. So just got to call that out though. But what's going on, y'all? If y'all heard the intro, first and foremost, want to shout out the brothers of Omega Sci-Fi Fraternity Incorporated. Y'all know what time it is. Hello. Okay. We just celebrated our Founders Day on November 17th. I was trying my hardest to go ahead and get a show recorded on the evening of November 17th, y'all. But I was OWT. Out, as they say. You know what I'm talking about? So, I stepping through the Rock Hill and Charlotte area and ending my evening at the frat house here in Charlotte. So had a good time, found his day, had a good time kicking it with the bros. A lot of brotherly love, like a lot of networking, of course, but a lot of brotherly love. So shout out to my brother Trey. Shout out to my brother Mitch. My brother Mitch from Sigma Theta chapter, or Voorhees chapter of Omega Psi Phi, Voorhees College, Voorhees University now. He has a merch or a clothing brand called Black Heaven. We're looking to get him on the show on a future episode. Shout out to my dog Trado. So my dog Trey out there. Shout out to my dog Carlos as well. It was good catching up with all of my fellow Omega brothers as we celebrated our Founders Day. So salute to y'all. It was great seeing y'all as well. And again, a lot of the networking and stuff like that, I'm definitely looking to follow up on. Some of the bigger movers and shakers in Charlotte were there as well. So said, man, I was humble. Let them know what time it was with the DJing and all of that stuff and my services that I provide for folks. So we'll see what comes from that. But yeah, y'all, let's go ahead and get it started, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Another episode. I do want to start with some revisions from last week. So very quickly, after listening and going over last week's episode, the comedian Godfrey, I mentioned that he spent a lot of time in New York and was trying to come up with it in real time, but he's from, you know, as far as US, he's from Chicago, or he claims Chicago, as far as whenever he, you know, again, he's a Nigerian man, but he's from Chicago. So that's just to kind of clarify, give some context to that. But, you know, again, brotherly love, shout out to Godfrey as well. And then also with the songs that I was so anxious about telling y'all, the songs that Carnival needed to retire, that I never actually said the titles of the songs. I just played them. So the first song that I played was I Just Want to Dance with Somebody by Whitney Houston. And then the second song that I was playing was Proud Mary by Tina Turner, of course. Excuse me. Again, two classics, timeless classics. Awesome tracks as far as, you know, black history and black music. Great music right there. But Carnival, I need y'all to think again about just consider it. I don't know why I'm playing the round of applause for them or the cheering, but Carnival, y'all got to think about that. Think about that for me. All right. So that's the revisions from last week. See here, before we get started, I do want to remind everybody that this is an interactive type of thing, so make sure that your voice is heard here in the community by emailing us mandatoryot704@gmail.com. again, that's mandatoryot704@gmail.com, and we'll get your emails read. Also, you can call us as 704, you could call the hotline 704-781-7011. Again, that's 704-781-7011, and we can play your, you know, voicemail or whatnot online, I mean on air. So let's get started with our Building Wisdom segment. Let's see here, our Building Wisdom segment this week, we got, let's see,
is that Prince or King?
Come here, Prince.
What's today's mathematics?
Hey, yo, no disrespect, but we ain't in all of that, son.
Build, destroy. The build is to elevate the mentalities of self and those around self. To add positive energy to every nation. To build, you must first start from the root, which is the knowledge foundation, and add on to the highest peak. To destroy is to eliminate and destroy any and all negativity that enters my cipher of supreme harmony.
Peace, God.
Peace, God.
All right, so the first piece of wisdom that we're going to be sharing, these two, is going to come from Cousin Jerome in the group chat, y'all. So this first one is by Napoleon Hill. Heavy quote right here. But if you do not conquer self, you will be conquered by self. That's tough. All right. And then also, actually today, Cousin Jerome sent over, you can't help what you feel, but you can help how you behave. And that's by Margaret Atwood. So that one, that's tough as well. A great, great quotes to live by. I wanted to read a quote that I ran across on social media, and it's in concert so much with what I've been trying to say from episode one, as far as us being in a distracted dystopia. So I want to go ahead and read this. It says, inability to focus is a disease, and it's becoming a pandemic spreading throughout the world. Cheap entertainment has made people's minds soft. They can't read books anymore. They can't sit down and work for an hour straight with no breaks. Many can't even watch TV without also being on their phone. Cure yourself of this and you'll have a massive advantage in the future. Give into it and it'll ruin you. So that was tough, super tough. I can't think of where I found it at so that I can give credit, but man, that quote itself or that saying, that epitomizes everything that I was trying to say with regards to us being in a distracted dystopia. And what I talk about when I talk about favors and the distraction that it presents, because again, like right now, we're inundated with advertising, with billboards or commercials in everything that we watch. So it's second nature for us to be distracted. It's second nature for us to not be focused. You think about 20 years ago, it would have been considered rude for you to be talking to someone and then them being their phones. And then they look up and be like, oh, I'm sorry, what were you saying again? I'm sorry. And nowadays that's commonplace, like the norm, that's the status quo, is you'll be speaking with somebody, you get halfway through what you're saying, and then they look up and be like, oh, my fault, can you say that again? Oh, my bad. Yeah, what was you saying? Like, come on, y'all. Again, I think you put yourself in a massive, give yourself a massive advantage, rather, if you remain focused and if you remain kind of just in concert with what your vision is and on your dean. Don't get distracted or whatnot. Okay. The next part of building wisdom this week is going to come from our brother CeeLo Green of the Dungeon family. Last week, I did not give credit and flowers to Outkast and also the Dungeon family as a whole, but to Outkast more specifically for getting inducted into, I believe, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So salute to Andre Patton, Big Boy, and Andre Benjamin, Andre Three Stacks, for both of them getting into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. That was dope. Well deserved, in other words, and long overdue. However, we're going to get to this, and I wanted to keep these high star bars a part of our Building Wisdom segment just because of what CeeLo was talking about on here. But we're going to kick some knowledge real quick with CeeLo Green. This is an old freestyle that he's had. He was at Sway in the Morning, or on the Wake Up Show at Sway in the Morning. This is over 10 years ago, this freestyle, but it's a Building Wisdom nonetheless. So here we go, y'all.
Hello?
Can you hear?
Yeah. In the beginning, there was none other than the original people, skin blackened from the sun. But somewhere along the line, I broke the laws of the divine and a curse placed on the soul of mine. Pale became the color of my face, feeling out of place amongst the people of my race. Filled with hate, I moved to a colder climate, intercourse with animals and raw flesh was AIDS. Filled and disease, sub-zero degrees, with Satan's blood in my veins didn't freeze. This hatred that I have for you, it runs deeper than your skin. I hate the one who put me in this position that I'm in, until I realize the powers of evil. Anything I have to do, I will. I steal, kill, and destroy. Went home to Africa looking for slaves to employ. Blue eyes, lies, and a smile was my only decoy. Snatch you up from your roots. What good is a spirit when I have this new invention that shoots? Brought you here, then deceived you. I change and rearrange everything that you have ever believed true. My soul is cold as ice is. I sold you for prices. You were hung from trees for sacrifices. Well, through the blood, sweat, tears, and pain, God's spirit and y'all still remain, which is actually more than I got. But I have a mansion and a yacht. The plot is making you think that it's about what it's not. With precision, I tell you lies through television. Distort your religion, wrap you up in materialism. How could you kill your own? Don't you see? You're learning to act just like me. But be more aware that the truth is there. I tell you all the time, but you don't care. But not all of you. There are a few that get into themselves and books on shelves and learn something new. And once they know, they become so powerful. But many don't have the means nor the inspiration to go to school. And I know they hate it, but you can't get a decent job unless you're properly educated. But educated about what? It seems to me that thus far, you've only learned about who we are. Isn't that funny? You'll give a school all your money for what you think you need, but it's never guaranteed. The misled mislead you. Your faith has been broken, provoking you to do whatever will feed you. Well, I front you some cooked cocaine in plain plastic sacks to sell to your fellow blacks. And why the foundation of your people cracks. You try to resist, but I won't stop until you niggas don't exist. It's strong, though, I give you that. But you must be stupid as hell to be that strong and still be where you at. And you still don't have a clue.
Mm-hmm.
I am who I am because of nuts.
Like you. Man, come on, y'all. That's my boy CeeLo Green right there of the Dungeon family tree. That's what hip hop is all about. Right? Creating movements, creating motion without words. That's a perfect example for us to see the power of hip hop right there in that freestyle, yo. Alright? We get to, that's truly the freedom of expression and everything like that. So that was to cap off our Building Wisdom segment for the week. Again, shout out to CeeLo Green. Shout out to the Dungeon family. Shout out to Outkast as well. We started off kind of last week with the breaking news of everything was going on with Rory and Maul and the Rory and Maul podcast. And some of his older tweets resurfacing and stuff and him being held to task. So, of course, there's been a million think pieces since that has happened and come out. But I want us to go back because I haven't coined a term for this segment, if you will, on the show. But I have told y'all plenty of times in the past, things that we talk about here end up coming to fruition or whatnot. And it's just confirmation for me that we're speaking truth to power, right? So one of our older or earlier episodes, I kind of expressed some of my hesitancy with us allowing a bunch of white people in this space, if you will, when we're speaking about hip hop or just taking their commentary and stuff like that, almost like as if the water is colder or the ice is colder or whatnot with what they're saying. So, you know, I brought a lot of them to task or I mentioned a lot of the white content creators and stuff like that that occupy this space. And I just kind of put those names out there for y'all so that y'all could be on the lookout for it. But as y'all can see, man, this is what I was referring to. If you've, again, if y'all been in tune with what's going on with the Rory and Maul situation and the Andrew Schultz situation or things like that, where people have been adjacent to our culture, but then have felt comfortable enough and or the arrogance enough to still, you know, speak down on some of our people or just talk recklessly when it comes to black culture and stuff like that. And that's just the warning for what's about to go down on the show today, okay? But first, I do want to play this funny clip from Shane Gillis.
Now, Australia ruled. I only had one negative experience while I was there, and it was I got bullied. I got made fun of publicly by a goth. They still have goths, dude. Full-on black trench coat, black eyeliner. I'll give him credit in his defense. The reason he was making fun of me is because I was wearing a bucket hat. There were no black people on the island. I was taking fashion chances the whole time. That's the thing about these countries. I was just in England, Scotland, Ireland, Australia. No black people. And I know what you're thinking. No. No, you need black people. You need black people to keep the whites in check. The last thing you want is a whole island of whites that think they're the coolest people on earth. It's a disaster. That's how you end up with Conor McGregor's walking around like, it's like, shut up, dude. American whites, we're humble. We know we're not the coolest guys around. It's the foreign whites, dude. Is there, yeah, yes! Preach, brother! Yeah. There's a reason every good NBA player that's white is from another country. The audacity to think you could play in that league, dude. Arrogance. Every white dude in America saw a black kid dunk in like eighth grade and was just like, oh, all right. Just set picks for the next 4 years. Just box out hard as hell. White people used to be cool in America. Long time ago, dude. The height of white people being cool was us going, we're like, man. That was as cool as we got. We're like, man, see? And then the day white people stopped being cool, it was Jackie Robinson's first game. You can find it. You can find the radio call from that game online. You can hear the exact moment white people stopped being cool. You can hear the announcers. They still got there like, man. Welcome to Chicago, where the White Sox take on the Brooklyn Dodgers. And we all had cool white nicknames. Like, up at the mound is old Curly. He's a 47-year-old alcoholic. He's the greatest athlete alive. Runs a 6-second 40-yard dash. Fastest man alive, they say. And Jackie came up to the plate. You can hear the announcers like, meh. Coming up to the plate is a young cardboard from Brooklyn. No way he can hit Curly's pitch. Here comes the pitch. Fuck, home run. All right. That was it, dude. Jackie hit the ball so hard he knocked that voice out of all the whites. Not one of us has talked like that since, dude. One swing at that. All right, yeah, that was pretty good. That was good. It's time for us to focus on computers.
Shout out to Shane Gillis, yo. That was funny. That was funny right there. But yeah, so he said the cool got knocked out of American whites once Jackie Robinson hit that first home run. Hilarious, yo. So that's just gonna just a preview of what kind of what we got going on today. Real quickly though, let's do this because it's not necessarily I didn't bring any lunch with me today. But I do want us to kind of step into the break room real quick. Remembering this distracted dystopia, DJ Highstar told you first, all right? Niggas is distracted out here. But it appears that Nicki Minaj went to speak to the UN this past week. Did y'all hear about that? So apparently she's bringing awareness to what's going on in Nigeria. But they essentially are taking their land back and their resources back, the people of the land. And right now, Nicki Minaj quite possibly is on the wrong side of history. Nigeria joined BRICS at the beginning of this year in January of 2025. These nations that are coming together essentially to start a new currency or a new system where the dollar, the U.S. dollar, is going to be obsolete. But they're making it appear as if Nigeria has a cause going on around the world that we all have to fight for. Nothing's a coincidence, y'all. That's all I want to say with regards to that. Also, though, these nasty ass white boys. While I'm talking about my fraternity, let's talk about these white fraternities real quick. Sorry, y'all, but we got to talk about it. I'm talking about these Epstein emails and what's been, you know, what's been released or leaked already. Listen. I'm not really here to placate. We're not here to play around with this shit, man. This shit is nasty. If it looks like a duck and quacks like a duck, talks like a duck, it's some niggas is nasty, man. Niggas is nasty. The only reason that people are being protected is probably so that their name don't get dropped or something like that. But this is, I'm going to take this moment, matter of fact, and to all of my listeners in our community, because I'm very confident that all of us are normal, take a second out of your day and show gratitude to God for you being normal and one of the normal ones, because out here it's a sick, sick world of a bunch of sick, sick people. It's a sick world, sick. And sometimes you gotta thank God for just being normal. Some, you know, for the whatever circumstances you've been born into and all of that stuff. If you have a sane mind, sometimes you just gotta stop and give gratitude and give thanks or whatnot. So yeah, this is the world, this dystopia that we're living in now. We are arguing about if we should release these files or not. It's taken a year and a half. It's sick, man. There's victims out there. People have been committing crimes. Like any other world, a pedophilic, racist, sexual assault, rapey ass man could not be president. But the land of the free and the home of the brave in America, the divided states of America, we can allow that? That shit is wild to me. But anyways, that again, I just wanted to, we could step out of the break room and go back onto the work floor, because I don't even want to spend too much time on that. Like I said, this week I don't have any kind of like out for lunch eats. I did go on Founders Day. I did stop by Twin Peaks on Caron's Boulevard. There were a lot of bros there, so it was tough to serve all of us. I was waiting about 40 minutes for Stella, and I got up out of there. I didn't stay, but I got up out of there. So that was my out to lunch or out for lunch experience this week, y'all, with Twin Peaks. I hate for it to be a negative experience, but y'all take it for what it is. It was Founders Day. We had like four or five young ladies that was helping us out, but I didn't get served. I didn't get my Stella. I didn't get my Stella, man. All good. All good. So let's get to, first and foremost, speaking of Founders Day. Founders Day always falls around the time of homecoming for Claflin University.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Yes. We're here. We're at that time of the year, y'all. Claflin University homecoming.
Shit like that. Shit like that.
I think I saw this year like some see you coming. Like maybe a play on the words for JT coming. And you know, with black homecomings, we just like with black weddings, we're trying to figure out hashtags and something trendy that people can remember, or something marketable or whatnot. You know, you got Jiho, greatest homecoming on earth. You got LHIA, livest homecoming in America. I think that might be state. Morris, nobody does it better. Shout out to my dog and my brother, Dr. Justin Buford. But Morris College, nobody does it better. So you got your little sayings and your hashtags and stuff. I saw on our flyers, Claflin, see you coming. I don't know. Listen, man. See you coming sounds wild, but I don't know. That's maybe what we're going with. That might have been one of the flyers or for one of the parties going on. But homecoming is this week, ladies and gentlemen. All right. And I'm here for all of the bullshit. No outfits off this week, by the way, y'all. No fits off from the kid, all right? There'll be a lot of changes down there at Claflin. So anybody listening to me that'll be down in Orangeburg this weekend, y'all just be on the lookout. A lot of changes because of the stuff that happened in South Carolina State. So clear bag policy, they're going to be cracking down on a lot of the public drinking and the drug use, if you will. Don't be lighting up the spliff just out in the open like we normally do down there. So just be, you know, extra on point, if you will, or whatnot, and be safe. Most importantly, more importantly than anything, y'all be safe down there. I will be showing my face and showing up, showing out there on campus. But for the most part, y'all be safe, man. If I want to get into today's show again, and it's the white noise in hip hop, if you will. Okay. The white noise that we got going on in hip hop right now. It's getting real loud. I want to start off by saying, like, since the days of the inception of hip hop, so the days of people like Ad Rock, DJ Ad Rock and the Beastie Boys, Rick Rubin, MC Search, then the move off into the 90s, your Vanilla Ices of the world, Eminem, he emerges in the late 90s. Then you even started to have your Limp Bizkits and Kid Rocks. That's right, when hip hop was palatable enough for MTV. So you have like your Limp Bizkits or your Kid Rocks that'll have rap verses in their rock songs. You know, again, white people have always had an invitation into our world, into our space to critique, to write on, to be a part of and rap alongside with us, to graffiti, breakdance, DJ, do all of the things and involve themselves in all of the elements of hip hop from the beginning. We've never had a hard line where, like, just what Lil Nas X experienced a few years back, where people are saying Old Town Road is not a country song. No, get out of here with your, pretty much get out of here with your black music is what they were telling Lil Nas X. Let's be for real, right? That's kind of where we're at with stuff, with hip hop. And then you got the culture as a whole. So like Stuart Scott made it cool to bring hip hop to sports and to sports television. Rest in peace to Stuart Scott, bringing that type of flavor to ESPN. And then what do you see? You'll see Scott Van Pelt, or who's that is talk about Jeezy all the time. I got to go to work. Oh, Jay Billis. Okay. You got Jay Billis's other world, Scott Van Pelt. You find Skip Bayless wearing Jordans and stuff like that. So, you know, y'all know how it goes. They're inundated with the culture. And we understand that. You understand that. Go through a couple of things here. So one of the people that I listen to and entertain his content is Professor Sky on YouTube. All of his videos and stuff like that are very thoughtful. He's a very well-spoken guy as far as like communicating his point and getting his point across. So I do want to play this piece from one of his videos. This video is actually titled Tyler D'Angelo and the White Spot. So to paraphrase before I play this clip, he alludes to a white blind spot that white people innately have when they're looking or they have their perspective on hip hop and our culture. There's just naturally a blind spot or a white blind spot of things that it's inevitable for you to miss as a white person, in other words. So for Professor Sky, he was speaking of D'Angelo and Voodoo, the album Voodoo, and all of the great works that D'Angelo put out these last two decades, again, before he transitioned. So that was an example that Professor Sky was giving for his own white blind spot. But I want y'all to listen to this portion.
Because, I mean, let's be honest, right? The vast, vast, vast majority of culture seen and appreciated by white people in America was either made by or created by Black Americans. And that's certainly true for me. So how is it possible that I could have heard D'Angelo on the radio 30 years ago and just sort of said, how did that happen? I'm sure I'm wrong. I'm sure he's great. He's working with Questlove and Jay Dilla. My God, I bet that Voodoo album's amazing. I can't wait to listen to it, you know? So I want to put forth some ideas of how this can be. How do white spots form and what do they mean? Now, let's be clear. This is not the same for every white person. I'm sure D'Angelo has a ton of super white fans as white as me. And it's not limited to white people either. This is a general experience. Whenever you try to appreciate other people's culture, and you do, there can be things which, for reasons I'm trying to get to, you just don't see. It is not as easily appreciated by outsiders. That's really what it is.
There's the added aspect. See, so this is a little bit of perspective from Professor Sky and the type of honesty or transparency that he speaks with whenever it comes to our culture. So that's one of the clips right there that I wanted to play. This next, from this video, I wanted to play a couple of things. This is from Justin Hunt, the company man. The video is currently titled, "Rory Tried to Explain. It Only Made Things Worse." So that's what it's titled, with Rory as a thumbnail. Just a little backstory. Justin Hunt, the company man, he is a Kappa, a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, or as they like to affectionately call themselves, the Noops. So he is a Noop, and so is Rory from Rory and Maul. So I know that this hits differently for company man, being that Rory is a member of his fraternity. And company man, more than likely, you know, again, he's in this space with Rory, or shares this industry space with him. So he more than likely has to answer questions with regards to why his frat brother is tripping out the way that he is. But let's go ahead to a couple of timestamps on this video.
I was today years old when I found out that Rory from the Rory and Maul podcast was a Noop, an illustrious member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity Incorporated, one of the divine nine Black fraternities and sororities in America, the same fraternity that I'm a member of. New Kai Spring 2000. 1 second applause. Now, there's 300,000 or so Kappas across the country, so not knowing someone is a member isn't a rare occurrence by any means. I meet new Noops all the time. But considering Rory's had a high profile in hip-hop, in the music industry, and in the podcast space for the past decade plus, all spaces that I'm a part of, I was shocked to find out that Rory was a Noop too. And so, not because he's white either. Contrary to perception, there are white members of all nine Black fraternities and sororities nationwide. Here's a clip of a white Q. No telling what he went through. No, it wasn't because of
the shape.
I was shocked because I learned this
it.
While watching his preptastic performance on a Twitter space Wednesday night when he was confronted by nearly 1,000, mostly Black people offended by a gaggle of awful looking, racially charged, arguably anti-Black, and definitely anti-Beyonce tweets he posted on Twitter over a decade ago.
All right, so before we get to the next clip, again, Justin mentioned something about the rewards and Twitter rewarding folks back then for being edgier and being, you know, more, you know, edgy with their content. And essentially the only reward that used to come from that was engagement. Algorithmically, you could get, you know, more followers and things like that. But there was no true payoff, especially not monetarily, back then for doing silly stuff like this. So I look at when people say kind of, that was the time that we were in, you know, that was how Twitter was back then. Like, yeah, but people are still people. So your true personality still showed through some of your tweets and stuff like that. There was still a line that most drew. In other words, again, that early space in Twitter, I just actively stayed off, if you will, or avoided it. But let's go ahead, fast forward to this portion of the video. I want y'all to hear this.
Never mind. I'm a chill.
When asked if he was deleting old tweets, he gaslighted and accused a woman of being racist.
Why were you hiding your tweet?
Hide what tweet?
Oh, now you don't know. Rocky,
I got a question for you right quick.
It's literally right here.
You know, Blue Weave is not Blue Ivy. That's racist as fuck.
Rory.
When asked if he would retweet any of those things again, he said this.
Which ones?
Any of them.
I said...
The ones that everybody's offended by.
One or two.
See, all right. So it took too long for him to even answer simply a yes or no. You got to get that answer out. And then prior to that, if y'all heard the beginning of that clip, that's a perfect example of what this thing that white people do a lot of times, whether they're aware of it or not, plenty of times. But it's a gaslighting thing. Prideful men that get called out on their bullshit. They'll do this a lot, where it's a gaslighting technique where you answer questions with hypothetical questions that are outrageous. Like all of that, when you were in a serious moment and stuff like that, it just didn't help. It didn't assist. There's also this thing that I'd like to coin it and call it the caucasity of arrogance that a lot of white people have. It's simply a caucasity of arrogance where they feel like, look, this anything that they're going through in life, it ain't that serious, or it's something that I can get past or whatnot. I'm white. So it's the caucasity of arrogance of knowing that you're white and you say so, and you know that it goes. And that's the energy that I picked up as well from Rory. So before going to our random thoughts and stuff like that today, I wanted to finish this off with a video, another video from Professor Sky, where it's titled Addressing My Old Tweets. And then in parentheses, it says there are no tweets, right? A very clever thumbnail where it looks like an old tweet and it says in the body of the tweet, it says something unintentionally racist. That's what it literally says. The timestamp for it is 2:43 p.m. August 5th, 1995. Of course, we all know Twitter wasn't around back then, so this is tongue in cheek, and this is Professor Sky being, you know, clever again. But I want to go through a couple of the timestamps on this video that he has just to discuss some things. So let's go ahead and take a listen real quick to Professor Sky.
And this is true. I'm one of the good ones. I'm one of the good ones. But this whole thing has taught me something. And it's something which I've been starting, which I was told once and I've been understanding ever since. This is a message to my white brethren. There are no good ones. In white supremacy, there are no good ones. And I want to talk about that. I want to talk about this idea. Now, all this, if you don't know, quite obviously springs from the recent situation with Rory of the Rory and Mal podcast, formerly of New Joe Budden, where he...
So, all right, hold on. We're going to fast forward real quick.
White people will go as far, will get as comfortable as you allow them to be. All of them, at some point, will push the line to see what you will let them get away with. It is not always malicious. It is often ignorance. But that train is always on time.
Sound familiar?
That sentence.
Shout out to the company man, brother Lulo, to the company man.
Has been running around in my head like a frickin' Amtrak.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
That train's always on time. Just all the way through. I've just been obsessed with this sentence. And I've been trying to think about
it's a quotable sentence. It's a quotable line. That train is always on time.
What I think he means.
So I'm going to go to this next timestamp real quick. It's like a fast break.
If you are ever going to realistically fight it, you have to understand that the goal needs to be not to be a good one, not to be invited to the cookout, not to be... cool at the barbershop or whatever the other images of black spaces that white people often
cool
want to invade.
Cool at the barbershop is funny.
Your goal is not to be one of the good ones. It's to be the least bad. That's my goal. every day through my YouTube, my community that I make with my black friends and colleagues, the syllabi I write, the curriculum, everything I teach, I strive every day in every way to be the least bad. Because it's a question of power and acknowledging and explaining those systems of power, how those global systems of power interact with individual psyches, the way that us as individuals.
All right, so let's go ahead and keep it moving. Shout out to Professor Scott. Listen, man, he cooking. You're going to go to this next timestamp real quick with him.
Yeah, I was called the good kid because I was called the good one in my African-American studies class I took in college because I was the only white kid in class and I took a lot of notes. I used to give copies of the autobiography of Malcolm X to all my friends in college. Stokely Carmichael used to babysit my cousins. My father marched with Martin Luther King and he helped to mentor a young Henry Louis Gates at an Episcopal Bible camp. My mom was personal friends with and supported Julian Bond going back to the 1960s. So I don't think I would have said or done anything stereotypical out of pocket, but I don't know. That's the thing. When you're in the position of societal power, when that power's been given to you, you don't know when you are exerting it. That's the nature of microaggressions. That's why people get all wrapped up, because they say, well, I didn't say anything bad. I didn't say anything racist. That may be, but you don't know the experience of the thing that people are listening or feeling when you say them.
That was tough.
So how would I possibly know? What I've thought about it. I've thought about it. Like, what would I have potentially possibly said when I was
back then
17 years old in 1995?
The key is, what would you have said if you were provoked or if you were antagonized? You know what I mean? That's oftentimes with white people, the racism and stuff like that is cloaked because I've got a comfortable life. I'm white. I'm white. So they good. It's when something disrupts that comfort of living, when something disrupts their daily, I'm white and this is another day in America type of day, harmonious day, that's when that stuff seethes out, right? So if a black person cuts them off in traffic, right? If they almost get into a back and forth with a black person at Walmart and about to get into a fight, all right? Like, little stuff like that is what triggers what we see in people's characters is truly revealed after situations like that when they're put to the test. My thing for racism and the term racism and all of that stuff is, my question is, would they give any of the power up? I don't know. Like, all of this, when I think about personally myself, I'm doing better than a lot of people. I'm blessed. I'm grateful. But would I give up all of my tashini and my polo? It just so that somebody else can take the place of where I'm at with in life and be as fresh as me, and then I take their place. Would I realistically do that? And that's kind of that's what white people are faced with whenever they're asked, like, what would you expect them to do? Give up their power or share their power? Because I don't know what I would do if had my people had all of this imperial power for hundreds and thousands of years or whatever like that. I'm not sure what I would do. Let's go ahead and continue playing this from Professor Sky real quick.
But I think these things are good. I think it's good we're having these conversations. I think it's good that the good ones get a little less comfortable. As Justin Hunt says, the cost of anti-blackness should always be expensive. Even if you don't have racist tweets, the train is always on time. And you know, the thing about it is that,
all right, the train is always on time. Let me go ahead and we're going to go to this next timestamp real quick.
It's racism.
Here we go.
Anti-blackness is such a part of our society that these tweets are a reminder that even those of us who actively fight against it are prone to it. A couple weeks ago, we learned and were reminded that anti-blackness is so ingrained in our white supremacist society that it's not exclusively the purview of non-black people. That's why
Tyler, the creator, was called to account for his previous anti-black tweets. About to get into this little white thing. I'm about to get to in a second. Yeah.
The goal.
Right. Again, so he's calling Tyler, the creator, to task a little bit, or just alluding. He's alluding back to Tyler, the creator's controversy. And then I want to play this last timestamp for y'all.
My whole life have been just super. If you're doing some victory lap, very important one. That's what we're talking about now.
But all right. Yeah, this right here. This, it's had to side eye Professor Sky with this one.
There's a lot of trains. We're talking about the race train.
There's a lot of trains.
Okay.
We're talking about the race train.
One. That's what we're talking about now. But there's many forms of power and marginalization.
You're going to dig this.
I know.
All right.
Very important one. That's what we're talking about now. But there's many forms of power and marginalization.
He's got about 7 minutes left in this video.
I'm pretty
video,
sure. If Twitter record. Existed when I was a teenager, I wouldn't have said anything offhanded, racist, or weird. I felt like I was pretty tuned into that. But I probably would have said some misogynist stuff. Probably would have said some homophobic stuff. Now, none of this is recorded, but I know that in my heart and amongst my friends, that's how I communicated. I talk about it all the time.
All right, so he goes on to say, you know, talk about how we loosely use the F word as far as the homophobic slur in the 90s and admits to that and all of that stuff. But that's, again, this is something that I want us to observe and take notice to. It's probably unintentional by Professor Sky. Like I said, I rock with Professor Sky. But white people will do this a lot of times. I call this the Blue Lives Matter effect, if you will, or All Lives Matter effect. We were focused in and channeled in, again, speaking about race. And to a certain degree, I feel like it gets so uncomfortable that, all right, we'll talk about it and then let's go ahead and lighten things up, or let's go ahead and deflect and take some of the attention off of the race topic. And, you know, what about what we call all of the slurs that we call gay people? Or what about how misogynistic I am and how I talk down on women? All of that stuff has its proper place. And I'm glad that Professor Scott did allude to that. But that just goes again to a certain level of caucasity and a certain level of like distracting, if you will. Like, I didn't want the last sentence in that or the last sentiments of that video to be, let's look out for all of the trains that we might be missing, y'all, because we all no. This started off centered around a white man feeling too comfortable in a black person's space and getting out of line with a couple of his tweets and things that he said with regards to black women. Let's just keep it on that. You heard? So, but shout out to Professor Sky. I'm glad that I was able to get through that personally. But yeah, I had to, I had to talk about all of that stuff this week, y'all. Make sure I get it off my chest. Speaking of get it off your chest, y'all know what time it is, right?
I know you're gonna dig this.
All right, y'all. I know what time it is. My favorite part of the episode. Today, we went ahead and put this toward the end of the episode just because I had to get all of that that racial stuff out a little bit earlier. We're going to go ahead and talk about random thoughts. Get it off your chest. So my first random thought is a continuation from last week. I spoke about when we speak to foreigners and you kind of speak in their accent, thinking that they're going to understand you a little bit better. Yeah. So if y'all didn't remember that one, this is a follow up from that, because also this is a pet peeve of mine and got to get it off my chest. When you see older people, and just because they're older, you want to speak louder to them. You start yelling and talking slow to them like they got something wrong. Yeah, auntie, did you want us to fix your plate for you? They looking at you like, why are you yelling, sweetie? Why are you yelling, honey? I know what I'm talking about, right? So that's one of my get it off your chest for this week. Let me see here. Stephen A. I got to get off my chest, man. Him and a lot of other men I'm noticing on television are being very emotional and are replying to women and reading, if you will, or, you know, whatever. I don't know what the term is, but they're trying to be sassy with women. That's just an emotional trait. I just got to call it out. Cause, you know, I see it. Stephen A., I'm charging you up once I see you too, bro. I got to know what you know. All right, I'm talking about some frat shit, y'all don't mind me, but I definitely am checking you. You got to see what you know, bruh. So that's a random thought of mine. Stephen A and the rest of these emotional men that be online or on television, and they feel the need that they have to respond to everything and every woman in the world. That's sassy, dog. It's sassy. Let's see here. There's a random one that I wrote down at work. Who are y'all talking to on an overnight shift? Who are y'all talking to at 3 a.m. in the morning? And them people are fully wide awake. You having full conversations for hours and hours with a person and you on the phone. I be trying to get stuff done at work, right, y'all? So I'm trying to be productive. I'm driving around on a forklift or whatever. And I'll stop by some, yo, y'all need these boxes to go over here? People talking, but they not talking to me. They in their AirPod talking on the phone. It's 3, 4 in the morning. I don't know if y'all are like dating people that also have an overnight shift job and it just worked out for y'all. And it's divine, but I don't get it. I don't get it. A random pet peeve of mine, had to get it off my chest. When people engage in, like, they're talking, they have their own little diatribe going, and they ask themselves a hypothetical question, and then they answer, I don't know. So it'd be like, now the Epstein files were released. Now, was Donald Trump a criminal? Was he a rapist? I don't know. But X, Y, and Z? Sure. Like, I hate that. I hate that. Don't fuck out of here with that shit, y'all. You know what I'm saying? I hate the hypothetical questions or the questions where people answer themselves back, you know, now, am I a black man? Yes. Yo, shut the fuck up, man. Nobody, get to your point. Get to your point. I ain't nobody trying to hear that. So that's my last little pet peeve. Get off my chest. And this will be a... introducing what we'll be talking about next week. In other words, this is an era that we're in of over entertainment, all right? And I had to get this off my chest. With all of the stuff that's been going on, the deception and stuff like that that our government presents us with, so whether it is distracting us with all of this stuff, you know, everything that's going on with the Epstein files, and then distracting us and saying, like, you know, we're going to do these $2,000 tariff checks, or we're going to be discussing 50-year mortgages and proposing 50-year mortgages, or we're on the brink of going to war with Nigeria and stuff like that, right? All of those things, we are in an era of over-entertainment. In this sick, sick dystopia that we live in, right, the emails that were released and all of the files that will be released, the initial thing that's going to come from this is people creating content and looking to go viral off of this stuff. So I just have to hold these people to task, y'all. I'm a comedian at heart, so I hate to do this, but the late night shows of the world, Jimmy Fallon's, Jimmy Kimmel, Stephen Colbert, the Daily Show, all of these guys, like, I don't, and again, and just maybe America as a whole and our radio shows as well and podcasts, but it's like, when are we going to take shit seriously? Like, it seems that SNL, even Saturday Night Live, I have to kind of highlight them as well. But all this stuff going on with Donald Trump, and it's like, we're just making joke after joke after joke after joke about it. And every night, yeah, there's great monologues that are made from it, great jokes that are written. But when are we going to get serious about what's really going on? It's kind of scary that we are making these jokes. It's like the world is ending right before our eyes and we're just making jokes. So if we was on the Titanic, we would be tweeting the last moments of the Titanic and, you know, letting the rest of the world, going live and making content out of the Titanic sinking. That's what this feels like currently. What we're in is an era of over entertainment. We're not taking any action actually against the criminality of our government and just the bizarre world that we're living in, the dystopian society that we're living in. We're not taking any action against it. We're just sitting back watching, being voyeurs or being entertained by everything going on, and then again making jokes to it and everything like that. Now, I do give Jon Stewart credit. For decades, this man has been in DC, in Washington DC, and on Capitol Hill, fighting for the blue collar American, fighting to protect children that can't protect themselves, fighting for workers that are getting wages that they can't, you know, live by and stuff. So Jon Stewart, he's a philanthropist, and he speaks truth to power whenever it comes to different issues and stuff going on in America and in this country when it comes to veterans and their things that they get and stuff like that. He's very vocal. So, and I do see Jon Stewart's serious side a lot. And if y'all remember or recall, he took some time away from The Daily Show when Trevor Noah, you know, took over. So I do see that humane side in Jon Stewart. I just, as funny as these jokes are, again, this is the commander in chief that we have put in office. Why are we not more or less, again, pointing a finger on ourselves or holding ourselves to task about who we have in office and how we could get this motherfucker out of office? But we just making jokes and we're making jokes. And then there's more jokes that's going to be made because of the Epstein stuff. And we won't be able to make sense of the nasty, freaky ass shit that these nasty ass have been doing behind closed doors and have been doing on Jekyll Island down in Georgia, or have been doing in any of their, you know, out there in Denver and Colorado, underground, wherever they've been at, and what the freaky ass, illegal, nasty ass shit that they've been doing is now coming to the light, and we can't stomach or we can't fathom it. And so we have to resort to making jokes. And this, like, it's a over, again, it's an era of over entertainment. Everything we have to do, we have to be entertained. Let's entertain each other. We're going to entertain. And it's like, nah. You feel me? So that's all I got on that. Listen, I'm a... Hold on, y'all know what time.
Show love, nigga. It don't show nothing. It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
I'm going to get money.
Show a nigga some love, nigga.
I'm not prepped this week with it, but I do want to show some love first and foremost. Shout out to Fat Boy, what's happening? Just fresh off his Vegas trip. My man went out to watch his Cowboys beat the Raiders this past Monday on a Monday Night Football game. So awesome experience. I know that he had... was out there four-wheeling and losing his money gambling and all of that stuff. Shout out to Fat Boy, man. And shout out to his Vegas trip. Shout out to Old Man Q. Brotherly love to Old Man Q. He just got back from New Orleans, y'all. He said something before he left for New Orleans, but he was like, he just appreciates that his close friend circle is traveling and the things that we're getting into as grown men and stuff like that. So shout out to Old Man Q. Shout out to Mixmaster T, of course, as always. Shout out to my brother Sock. Let's see here. Shout out to the brothers of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated, more specifically, the Lambda Sigma chapter of Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated. Big brotherly love to my big dog, Big Cliff, celebrating his birthday today. Shout out to you, my brother. Brotherly love to my little cousin, Makai. Listen, man, you're doing your thing, brother. Just continue to pray. Stay steadfast that everything is going to work out. My brother, my little bro, he's working hard, but he's realizing, you know, that life, that thing called life, man, that shit want to go 12 rounds, 15 rounds with you. You got to fight. You got to swing back. You know what I'm saying? Swing back. But brotherly love to my little bro, Makai, man. Brotherly love to his son, Legend, because I just saw a little bit this past weekend. So brotherly love to Legend as well. Let's see here. Brotherly love to everybody that's going to be down there at Clapton University this weekend celebrating homecoming. Okay? Brotherly love to all of y'all. And with that being said, I want to end this off with a prayer with faith that's... Excuse me, with a steadfast faith that's in God. I want to end this off with a prayer that's straight from the heart. All right. May the ego and the hubris never break us apart. From one brother to another. Nobody ever told you before. I love you, y'all. Yo, that's my time today. I appreciate y'all joining me here on Mandatory Overtime. Y'all enjoy the rest of the week, man. Peace. Have a good one.
Hey, everybody, it's closing time. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here. Closing time.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
I know you're gonna dig this.